For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, and I'm back with another season of our weekly look at the world of non-league football. Apologies for the delayed start, not coming back in the fully revised format, I hope, but for those that don't know and not wanting to dwell on it, I lost my father at the end of the month after he succumbed to cancer, which put a considerable drain on my time as much as anything. But we are back, and I'm pleased to be back with my second family here. One, my dad embraced, two, in his support of Hayes and Yedding United over the years, and without him and without me watching him as a player and then as a manager when I was a kid on the touchline, I possibly wouldn't have the same passion for the game at our level that I do. So what I have learned in recent weeks is that non-league isn't actually about the football. We love that. That's good. The level is far higher than anybody that's never watched non-league football would ever know. It's a far more enjoyable game to watch, I think, than at the higher echelons. But anyway, non-league isn't about the football, it's about the people, the family we all buy into. Now, I knew that already, of course, so I've been harping on enough about it in recent years, but it came into action in recent weeks, and for that, I am most grateful. But the non-league world is a busy one, and it stops for no one. We catch up this week with the FA Cup as it moves into the preliminary round, and of course, we have Phil Annette at FA Cup Fact File on hand to help with the facts, the stats, and to educate and inform us all. Four steps, six clubs remain in the competition. We talked to one club who caused a big upset, beating Step 4 opposition last time out, with a little special quirk to do with their joint managers as well that we'll find out about, and they hope to beat their Step 5 hosts this time round too. Rounding up the start of the season and what to expect in this weekend's paper, we have editor-at-large at the non-league paper, Mr. Matt Babcock, with leagues across the pyramid looking set for possibly the best season yet. Plenty to discuss with him and my other guests, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Now, quite frankly, there was only ever going to be one guest to get the spot of coming on first on the new season, and I was very pleased, given his success last term and, worldwide fame now, that he was able to accept. This weekend is the FA Cup preliminary round, 272 clubs, 136 ties, as clubs from steps 4, 5 and 6 do battle to progress to the first round qualifying and potential step 3 opposition. To give us an insight, share his knowledge, and again, quite frankly, educate and inform us, it's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to my friend and yours at FA Cup Fact File, Mr. Phil Annette. Welcome back, Phil.
Hello, Tim. Yes, again, another wonderful introduction. I never know how long it's going to go on for, but it's fantastic. Great to be back talking about the FA Cup again.
Well, it's great. It's great to have you back. Great to be doing introductions, to be fair, and great to be doing introductions for you. I mentioned that 272 clubs in this round, but of course, we were late to the party with the competition this season. The competition already underway with the extra preliminary round, in some cases, their opener to their season. And as ever, there were many winners and losers.
Well, yeah, of course, with a record number of ties in the extra preliminary round, 208. They've never had that many ties in any round in the FA Cup in the past. So you're bound to get fantastic stories and scorelines and winners and losers, as you said. I think one of the most memorable results was the one at Newhaven in their replay against Canterbury City, where after having drawn 1-1, Newhaven went on to win 10-0 in the replay. Phenomenal, and not much of a change in teams, apparently. And it's like the eighth biggest replay victory of all time in the competition. And I also believe they had a player sent off with 15 minutes to go and still added to their tally. So a fantastic feat, I guess, for Newhaven. And interestingly, they take on Sheppey United in the next round. And between them, they've already scored 20 goals in the FA Cup, which is phenomenal after just one round of matches.
And it just goes to prove the magic of the FA Cup is in these early rounds, isn't it? I mean, whatever he goes on to do from here as well, Finn Smith looks like he's going to be featured in record books for a while too.
Yeah, fantastic, wasn't it? Scoring a goal in the FA Cup one day after your 16th birthday. We believe it's the youngest goal scorer ever, but of course we don't have records of every match over the 150 years. But I think a few years ago it was acknowledged that someone slightly older had scored was the youngest person to have scored. So, yeah, Finn Smith, fantastic for him, making records so early in his career. Let's hope he goes on to make many more.
Yeah, he scored for Newport Isle of Wight, and obviously he'll be looking to score again this time round, and maybe get on that FA Cup Golden Ball list, that leaderboard. One other name already on there, Callum Laycock, put himself firmly in the frame for that one already. One game, five goals, all the goals in Moneyfield's win.
I know, it's outstanding. What a fantastic day for him. Couldn't put a foot wrong, and I think he even got a classic hat-trick, a left foot, right foot header with among those goals. So yeah, he's put himself right at the top of the chart for top goal scorer in a competition. I'm so pleased now that the FA have finally listened to all of our pleas for them to include the non-league clubs in the qualifying round within their top scoring. It obviously started last season. And so there's an opportunity for someone like Callum or anyone else who scores lots of goals to top the charts and get a day out at Wembley in the cup final.
Yeah, there were also some first-time competition wins for clubs like Bury AFC, new to competition, but also losers as well. A great stat which I saw you put out on your website. Keynsham Town fans, close your ears for 30 seconds. Their 12th exit at the extra preliminary round in 17 years. I guess they're budgeting without the FA Cup money.
Yeah, I think it'd be very wise not to presume they're going to get a big fund coming in from an FA Cup run. Yeah, the last 17 years, they've had 12 campaigns. Unfortunately, failed to get beyond the extra preliminary round. I think they've had one draw in that time. I think for my record, that 12 consecutive exits in this round is a record for the competition. They have won games previously to that, but you've got to go way back to the 1920s, 30s. To find when they did do that. But, you know, if you're not in it, you don't get a chance. So hopefully they'll be back again next year. And we've seen this year with Holyport, who had gone nine seasons without winning a single FA Cup game. They found the way to victory this year. And so it doesn't matter how long you have to wait, that day will come.
And I'm sure that the players that celebrated that Holyport victory, that day will be reminded to every publican across the local area for many more years to come as well.
Yeah, they've got to make the most of it, haven't they? They've got to be welcomed in and pints bought and that kind of thing for ever and a day. I think that's quite right.
Yeah. This weekend puts us in the preliminary round. Matches across the whole of the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And as I mentioned, steps 4, 5 and 6 involved. 64 step 4 clubs joining us this round who were given buys the last round. Plus we have 4 step 6 clubs still involved. Andover Street, Brixham, Newport Isle of Wight, who we mentioned earlier, Wincanton Town. Any chances of those step 6 clubs progressing, causing more cup sets?
Well, there's obviously always a chance. We're in August, and August is always a month where the teams put out their best first 11 because of holidays and all the rest of it. But yeah, the four of them have all been drawn away from home, unfortunately for them. So that does give them a bit of a challenge. And I think Andover New Street have the biggest challenge of all, which they've got to go to step 4 side Westbury United. But I think we just keep an eye out for them. I think at least one of them may prove to be the last step 6 club standing, but which one it will be, I'm not really sure.
And we've also got 5 first timers, I think, in the competition competing in this round too, including Bury AFC, which is again great for the competition that there's new names coming in. Your book FA Cup 150 celebrated all those clubs that have been involved in the first 150 years, and we still got more new clubs coming through at a time when we hear worrying stories about the demise or potential demise of existing clubs.
Well, hardly a day goes by when you don't hear about some club somewhere in the pyramid folding and calling it a day. But no, it's great to see new clubs come in, and obviously I'd love the opportunity for even more to come through each season. But these 5, Buckhurst, Hill, Bury, as you said, Midhurst and Eastbourne, and we've got Shefford Town and Campton as a club. And then one with a very unique suffix, which was a theme of my book, is Worcester Raiders. So They are playing Malvern Town, Worcester Raiders, which Malvern Town had beaten Worcester City in the previous round. So that would have been a potential local derby of note. But I still think they're quite local anyway. But it would have been quite an interesting time seeing the Raiders take on the established Worcester City to see who came through. But we'll see with Malvern whether they can beat both Worcester sides on their way through to the next round.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to denigrate the name of the club, but Worcester Raiders does sound like a packet of crisps I used to have in my school lunchbox many years ago. But I look forward to you know, maybe Walkers embracing this with a sponsorship in the coming weeks and months forward. We mentioned last round, the extra preliminary round was a record breaking one, and this round's going to be a record breaking one. Well, I think at least 11 ties. There's going to be a history made.
Yeah, so it's fantastic, isn't it, for a game to go ahead knowing that the winner will appear into the first qualifying round for the first time ever, or at least equal their best ever run. So it's always nice to have something extra on the game other than just trying to get through to the next round. And you're right, there are 11 games in total where we, you know, providing it doesn't go to a draw, there'll be somebody celebrating history for the club come quarter five.
Yeah, and we also always love revenge ties. So clubs that know each other well, maybe some additional grudges to give the cup tie that little bit of extra edge. 30 ties this round, I understand, of the 136 have happened before. So these two clubs have met at some point in the FA Cup. I'd love to know, though, if there's anybody out there who's been to all six of the previous Sporting United Stamford FA Cup ties and is going to be there again this weekend.
Well, I think that would have a challenge. It does span over quite a lot of years. So, they've had six previous meetings in the FA Cup and have three wins apiece. So that is the most common matchup of the round. But we have a couple of teams facing each other again for the first time in quite a period of time, where I'd be very surprised if anyone was around when they last met. So I think it's the Soham Town Rangers have waited 53 years to exact revenge over Potton United. So that they last met in, I think, 1969. But going even further back, Skelmersdale United and Prescott Cables, they haven't met in the FA Cup for 72 years. So I'd definitely be surprised if anyone remembers that game.
Already my head's spinning, thinking, well, here we go. Here's a spin-off podcast for us. You know, non-league history, the two chaps that were there in opposition 72 years ago, now giving chapter and verse on everything that's happened ever since and why their club's going to be better. I want to listen to it. I don't know about anybody else. I'm pretty certain we might see a celebrity chef and a non-league fan catching some FA Cup action this weekend too. The BBC Red Button, BBC Sport Online and iPlayer have chosen the game at 12:30 PM, Saturday kickoff at Marlow against Tame United.
Yes, that's fantastic to see that the BBC are continuing their online coverage of the FA Cup in the early qualifying rounds. They missed out on the extra premium because of their restrictions on the number of channels that they've got available when, with the Commonwealth Games going on at the same time. But it's good that they're back in, and Marlow versus Tame should be a good game. Marlow obviously got a lot of history in the FA Cup, being one of only two clubs to have participated in all but one of the competitions. So I think they've chosen a good game. It's not what in terms of excitement for potential cup set because they're both played at the same level. But as I said, it's really good that they are showing games live and they continue to do so.
Yeah, and I mean, that celebrity chef, Tom Kerridge, I know, does get out and about and gets the Marlow on a regular basis. I'm guessing that, as you say, you know, you've got two clubs at the same level, not otherwise any other massive intrigue. Oh, yeah, Marlow got a great history, indeed that, and both great clubs, well-run clubs that I've known for many years, but I've got a feeling that in the celebrity culture that we live, maybe Tom Kerridge may have been lined up for an interview already for that BBC Red Button.
Well, I wasn't aware that he was a big fan of the club, but I hope he is, because anything that gives it publicity at this stage and raises the profile of the non-league game, however that happens, is a good thing.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not as good at wordplay as yourself, Phil. But one time that did jump out at me, I think I'm going to be checking the result, checking it again, double checking it again, probably just to make sure it's the truth. We've got Lie Town against Kidsgrove, so I'm hoping there's no kidding with the result there.
Oh, very good. Yes, I think you've stumbled on something there. Lie Town versus Kidsgrove, perfect. Yeah. Well, we believe the result from either team when you see it at the end of the day.
It reminds me of the yeah, we're lucky now. We've got Twitter, we've got social media, even the FA site might be updated by Monday. We can find these results. But back in the day when I first got involved with my club, you'd ring around the individual bars around the clubs. Yeah. And if someone that had been drinking all afternoon and hadn't seen the football answered the phone and told you the result, you had to go with that result that he gave you. Hopefully we'll be able to find the Lie Town and Kidsgrove result a bit easier this time round. Now, there are plenty of ties to choose from, plenty of chances to see some FA Cup football Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Equally, though, I guess, Phil, it's probably a very, very busy time with all the stats you've got to compile and sort of pull together, keep an eye on. Are you going to be able to get out and about and see any action live?
Well, I am, and you're right, it is extremely difficult to collate all the results in a timely manner. But, I'm actually making a long trip this weekend to go to watch Sheffield FC host Glossop North End. Mm-hmm. Two really historic clubs. Of course, Sheffield is officially the oldest football club in the world, so it's a first-time visit for me to see that. But what's quite amazing, though, is that the clubs are only about 30 miles apart, and they've been competing in the FA Cup between them for almost 200 years, and they've never met before in the competition. So that's quite an intriguing tie after all this time to see two grand dames of the football history come together in the oldest competition in the world.
Wow, it sounds like an historic place to be, and please, we'll be keeping an eye out on Twitter to see how the result goes, as you always do your updates while you're there as well. I suppose we ought to remind people where they can follow you on Twitter, find out all your stats and great facts as well.
Yes, please do follow me on Twitter at FA Cup Fact File. I'll try to update the scores as quick as I can. It's going to be difficult with a long trip home from Sheffield to do it before Sunday. And even then, it's Mrs. Fact File's birthday on Sunday, so she might not be too keen on me spending the day updating the results, but we shall see. And you can read all my previews, my full preview of the round, on my FA Cup Fact File WordPress.com blog. So please do visit that as well.
Thanks as ever, Phil. And I love the fact, given the conversation that we'd had earlier, that you've referred to her as Mrs. Fact File, because FA Cup Fact File, that's I look forward to having a discussion with Mrs. Fuel later on, and I'll come up with a new moniker for her and see if she plays the game. I did manage to get her as a steward last weekend at Hazelden United, right. So you know, things are moving on. But look, Phil, always a pleasure, always entertaining, always educating as well. Thank you for your time again. Thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Yeah, real pleasure, Tim. Thanks for having me.
So let's hear from one of those clubs preparing for this weekend's preliminary round in the FA Cup. Indeed, one of those four remaining Step 6 clubs. Last time out, they caused possibly the cup set of the round with an impressive 3-2 win away at Step 4 Tavistock, and will be hoping to beat higher opposition again when they travel to Step 5 Western Leaguers Shepton Mallet. To give us some insight, it is a warm non-league show welcome to joint manager at Brixham AFC, Jason Couch. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Jason.
Hi, Tim. Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having us on here.
Well, thank you for giving us time. I'd imagine in busy weeks, this is probably right up there.
Yes. Yeah, we played last night as well. So it's been quite a juggle. It's getting everything ready for Saturday as well. Yeah, and Tim, who will run the team with Tim Cordy, is away at the moment as well. So yeah, it's been quite full on.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was a secret or not, but a marvellous moment in that last round with the cup set. But Tim, your colleague, your partner in crime, wasn't there.
Neither was I for the first round, to be fair. So we can't take any of the credit. We both had COVID-delayed holidays that were meant to happen 2 years ago when it wouldn't have affected this, but unfortunately they fell due to COVID. We couldn't go, so neither of us were there. So our physio and one of the senior players, Steve Parkin and Danny Gay, stepped in to run the team. And got the great result. We were both on FaceTime to each other and to a guy that was at the game, keeping ourselves updated. So, yeah.
I feel your pain with the juggle of non-league football commitments. It's the only the major criticism I ever get from friends, family, and everybody else that knows me. But maybe the two of you worry then that after such a good result that maybe you should just sit this one out too.
It has been said that we could be the unlucky charm. Tim's still away, flies the night of the game. Actually, he'll be flying back after the game. Myself, I'm back. But we've played a couple of league games since then as well. So, but the guys that were involved in the first round, preliminary round, will be there as well. So, yeah, it should be good. Looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, the rest of the country is probably heading to the Devon coast this weekend, and you're going to be making the trip inland. I guess in the South West Peninsula League, as you are, your location probably means a fair bit of travelling anyway. So, is there a standard coach routine that you guys are sort of slot into?
We don't go, this will be a longer trip than we normally do. We normally minibus some of the longer away games that we have. So we're a coach this time, because the FA Cup with the travel expenses covered, it allows us to get a coach and supporters to come in. So it will be a bit of an earlier start, but we've got quite a young side, so it's not like they've got commitments in the mornings other than getting themselves up and out the door a bit earlier than normal. So no, it should be fine. The lads are really looking forward to it, to be fair. For some of them, it's the first or second time now that they've played in the FA Cup. I mean, as a club, it's only our second ever season in the FA Cup. So it's all still a great adventure at the moment.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention that. It's a club fairly new, only formed in, 2012, from the merger of the older clubs of Brixham United, Brixham Village. Yeah. Has already this limited amount of FA Cup success given you a better profile in the town?
Definitely. I mean, I joined the club when they formed. The new club 10 years ago. So when we first started, it had a bit of a profile because it was new, but then that sort of, like anything that's new, it goes away after a while. And rugby is a big factor in the town. It's a very, very big fishing town, and rugby's always been the main sport in the town. But I think being in the FA Cup, we noticed it last season when we played at home, the crowds have definitely increased, and people wanting to come to the club to be part of the club, either playing or behind the scenes, is definitely increased. And I think, you know, when you're in the FA competitions, especially the FA Cup, that adds to it as well.
And you mentioned you've got a fairly young side, and we hear about clubs struggling for players due to work commitments at the moment. And I guess being a town where tourism, and you say fishing also plays a big part, this time of season might affect availability of some of your players as well?
We've noticed it probably more from all the holidays that everyone's missed because of COVID. And a lot of players would take their holidays outside of the football season. But because of COVID now, and we've had quite a lot of weddings that people were meant to have and haven't been able to have, and quite a lot of holidays that people are catching up on now. So as a result of that, we've noticed a bit more unavailability than you would normally expect. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I wanted to spotlight your tie, not only for the great result that you had last time, but also because it seems that spectators at your games probably get decent value for money this season as well. Four matches across competitions, an average of over four goals per game. 11 goals, 4 and 6 against, that's a good ratio. But an entertaining game guaranteed?
Definitely. We try and win every game we play. You know, we don't set out for anything less than that. And I think we try and play football on the front foot. And when you have younger players, they're very keen to try and score. Sometimes not always at the right opportunity. It's a conversation we have quite a lot in the dressing room, but it's something that they want to do. They always feel that, you know, there's another goal in the game, and it does lead, like you say, for entertaining football. Manager's nightmare sometimes when you're trying to shut up shop, but you can't fault the lads' attitude and work rate, to be fair. And goals win games, don't they?
Goals win games, and they win fans round as well, that's for sure. You mentioned that midweek league game we're speaking Thursday, Wednesday evening. Not the greatest of results. We'll skip over that. But any knocks or problems with the squad going to Shepton Mallet this weekend?
We picked up a couple of knocks in the game, but the lads have managed to see a physio today, and they've just been told to rest up, really. And
it's the FA Cup. Everybody's going to be available, aren't they?
Unless someone's got, you know, a bone sticking out their sock, they're not going to be on. They're going to be on that coach, and they're going to be wanting to play. So no, we go into it as strong as we can be. I mean, we've got some on holiday, but I mean, everyone's got that. And the ground, the pitches have been exceptionally hard this time of year. I mean, they are normally, but they've been exceptionally hard, and a few lads have got nursing a few strains, but nothing that they won't shake off when that whistle goes on Saturday.
Yeah, and what do you know about Shepton Mallet? You're coming back off your holiday, so early on in the season. I saw that they had an impressive 4-1 win at Liskard in the last round, and are unbeaten this season. But it is the FA Cup, and anything and everything can happen. As underdogs, do you go in and just play your game?
100%. Yeah, I mean, in our league, we compete near the top of our league most seasons, so we don't get that underdog tag too much. So it's quite a nice feeling to have. And we almost thrive on that. We go into the game with no expectation. As long as we give a good performance of ourselves, we come away, you know, we're pleased with the result. And I know a little bit about Shepton because I know the Liskard manager, and I know a couple of lads at Barnsfield where they played at the weekend. And a couple of our players have played in the Western League that they're in. So they've been there as well. So we've got little bits of information, but sometimes I think knowing less is better because you go into it without any preconceived ideas, without any negatives, and you go into it with an open mind and you feel you've got a chance. So we go there confident, go there knowing that they're the favourites. They're on their home pitch. They play that pitch very well. They've had a fantastic start to the season. But like you say, it's the FA Cup. We didn't go to Tavistock expecting anything and come away with a win. Mm. So, you know, we go there confident but respectful of the opposition.
And I love the fact that you've used the non-league network. People don't understand, unless you're fully embraced as a player, the manager, behind the scenes, how many people talk to one another up and down the country to try and get as much insight as they can, or find out about a player, or find out even about the playing surface. That non-league network is, if we could market it, if we could put it in a box, it'd be gold dust.
It is vital. It is vital. And I think, you know, I've been involved in football for a long, long time. And you get to know a lot of people through it. And you know, when you're playing opposition, that people want to support, they want to help. Everyone wants to help each other wherever they can. And then it's something that you know, you just pick up the phone, or there's so many different ways you can contact people now. And I think you'd be foolish not to use it, really. But it's in Twitter as well, is an area for non-league football. And I think non-league football's growing and growing and growing in terms of popularity, people attending games, and communication between the managers and the coaches is growing as well. So it's good to see.
Yeah, I made reference earlier in the show, when I first got involved with my club, I used to ring around all the different clubhouses to get the get the results after a game, and you never knew whether the bloke that was sat alongside the telephone and actually watched the game or just been drinking all afternoon. But it's as you say, even you can even get video snippets that I'd imagine at your level offer somebody to help you, even watch a style of play, pattern of play, and it's just whether you've got enough time, I guess, to juggle all that in.
No, definitely. The information's out there if you want to find it. And it's how much detail you want to go into, because sometimes you can over-prepare, you can set up for something, and the beauty of non-league is you don't know what you're watching is what you're going to face. Mm. And you don't know whether the style of play is what you're going to face, because the availability, home and away, teams will play different, very, very different. It's not like the pro game where you're pretty structured and you know what most teams are going to do. So sometimes it's better to know a little bit, just enough, rather than go into too much detail and you walk out and they set up a completely different formation and play a different style. Because the players are very quick to let you know that if you set them up one way and it doesn't work.
Talking of players being very, very quick, you mentioned being involved in the football for a long time. Any particular FA Cup record that you're going to be drawing upon in the changing rooms?
No, in all my time in football, this is the last season we're in the FA Cup. And this season, it's the only times I've been involved in the FA Cup. So we've got...
Not tempted to put yourself on the bench then?
Christ, no. We'll never be that short. No, no. I'm a manager for a reason. And I've been a manager for a long time. No, no. Tim's very keen, but unfortunately he's away. But he still fancies himself as a bit of a number nine. But I don't think we've got big enough shorts at the moment for him. So it's good that he's away.
you mentioned that the prize money's helped to get go towards the coach this weekend. The prize money in this competition is massive for clubs, particularly at your level, Step 6. The prestige is lovely, but that doesn't pay the bills, particularly at the moment. And even if you fall this time, I think that's over £1,500 in prize money already secure for the club. And a win could double that. Even if it doesn't reach you at a playing budget level, that's going to have an impact not only on this season, but seasons ahead for years to come.
Definitely. I mean, it does. You can see some clubs factor it into their budget when they enter the FA Cup. We see it as anything we get from it an absolute bonus. Mm-hmm. You play two rounds in the FA Cup and you earn in prize money what it would take you four rounds in the FA Vard. So it does have an impact on the club, and the chairman has been very on the phone a lot discussing the squad and who's available, who's not. More than he normally would do for a league game. But I think the money's allocated that way.
Money's always allocated at a football club. And don't worry about that. It's other people's money you want to be able to allocate. We're talking Thursday evening. You said you had a game yesterday. Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoff. What's the plan now? Do you have another training session before they all get on the coach and meet on Saturday morning?
No, the lads, we've played Saturday, Wednesday since the season started. So the lads will be doing nothing for today and tomorrow. We've spoken to the players, really trying to talk about it, because our priority this season is to try and get ourselves promoted into the new league that forms next year in the Southwest. There's a restructure coming. Yeah. So we want to do that by winning the league. So I've tried to leave the cup alone, but started ringing around the players. Now we've finished, you know, the next game is a cup game. Started ringing around, having individual conversations with them, and just discussing, you know, what our plans for Saturday. But in terms of meeting together, we just won't have the time now between now and Saturday.
Yeah, well, I appreciate even more the time you've given me this evening to chat ahead of Saturday's big FA Cup game. So I appreciate that being a non-league manager is, well, it's not normally appreciated, really. You know, you get plenty of abuse, and I'm sure if you win on Saturday, you get a little bit of praise as well. But the hours and the stresses and strains of being a non-league manager, it's not everybody would do it, and there are moments when I'm sure you question yourself about it as well. But Jason Couch, joint manager at Brixham AFC, best of luck at the weekend, and thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
No problem. Thanks for having us on. Hopefully I'll be speaking to you again.
I look forward to that.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Now, I will admit, every year I do feel a little bit guilty when this show goes on a summer break, because the team at Non-League Paper Towers don't get such luxury. They literally are there 365 days a year, 52 weeks of the year. Come rain, shine, the sunshine, the heat, and everything in between. Thankfully, that little bit of guilt is enough to fend off their despising me, and I am pleased to say that the band is back together once again. So to help with our first trip to non-league papers of the season, I'm very pleased to be able to call upon editor-at-large at the non-league paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. Welcome back. Where have you been?
Well, I guess it's a long story, and we certainly haven't got time for that. The world is all about learning, and I should say that probably during my summer break I've learnt a lot. Whether I'll act upon that, I'm not quite sure. But I should, of course, also start with congratulations to yourself. Not that you continue to pull out all the stops every week to produce the paper, but of course we missed you at the end of last season because of a new addition to your family. So congratulations to you all. And I just wanted to ask, how many words a minute shorthand is the new Badcock Junior up to already?
Well, yes, he's already, Georgie's knowledge is already on-foot was far more impressive than my own, so that's not particularly difficult. But
it's got a future as a non-league manager, then.
I might sort of might steer away from the journalism.
become a centre forward. I hear it's one of the greatest really jobs in the world at the moment.
Would be I was going to say easier, but I don't know about that. But would be more preferable, possibly. All trying to get him into it in time. We'll see how he goes.
Well, the non-league world waits with bated breath. We've spoken to Phil Annetts and also club taking part in the FA Cup this weekend, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of coverage in this weekend's paper of the preliminary round. But I thought we'd start with reaffirming how important these early qualifying rounds are to football at our level, and football as a whole, I think. Not only the prize money, but also the prestige and publicity, especially locally, because that helps out with sponsors, crowds and probably players as well.
Yeah, I think it just always captures the imagination at this time of year. And, you know, obviously with the way the draws are made, there's lots of derbies and neighbours playing each other who often know each other very well, and players who play for both clubs and things like that. So there's always history between clubs and teams. But it is that, I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago for the paper, and I went to Thetford against Soham in the extra preliminary round on a Friday night. And I don't know, it was just kind of this, there was a decent crowd there and there's a real sort of buzz about the place, and you could just see kind of how important it is and what it kind of means to the players to be able to say they played in the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just sort of, the prize money, yes, is great, but there's also just that wanting to win a game and try and have a little run, and everybody dreaming of, could this be our year? Whatever that sort of success is, it's not necessarily, getting to the third round. For some clubs, it's just getting through a few rounds and getting a big step two club, for example, or something like that. So, obviously that first round is the Holy Grail and everyone's dreaming of it, and can it be their year? So it is just, that reminder. I think the warm evening helped it on that Friday night going down to Thetford as well, because it just sort of had a really good atmosphere about it. And, you know, last week we spoke to Callum Laycock, who scored five for goals from Manny Fields in the first game, and, you know, he's kind of saying, across the whole of the country, he's the leading goal scorer in the FA Cup at the moment. That's kind of a pretty special and pretty cool thing to be able to say. So it's nice. Lots more stories to be written this weekend, as you say, so many clubs across the country on Friday and Saturday and Sunday all trying to get into that next round.
Yeah, and I think he's also talking to fans, you know, week in, week out as well. It's often the first step into non-league football for them, isn't it? And I think hopefully, again, if the weather stays nice this weekend, it might be another opportunity for the same to get in a new set of fans, whether that's a new generation or whether that's people that are moving away from the pro game because of the costs and everything else that's involved there. The FA Cup is our, you know, showcase. It's our window on the world. And it's good to prove that the FA Cup doesn't start in the third round.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the point of it, isn't it? I said in this piece, kind of in general, we're going to get the same old arguments about teams resting players, you know, Premier League and Championship clubs resting players, and is the magic they'll stay there and all this sort of thing. And I kind of think maybe people are looking quite in the right place, because, you know, there are so many amazing sort of stories every year, you know. Say Callum Laycock, you know, he's over the moon that he's top scorer. He might not be there at the end of this week. Someone else might go and score a few goals and put themselves above him. But for this sort of moment, he's, you know, there's always that little bit of history. And there was a lad at Newport, Isle of Wight, who's thought to be the youngest goal scorer day after his 16th birthday. What a kind of nice, cool little thing that is to be able to say that he's achieved that. Young Finn Smith. So it kind of, there's all these different stories and you know, where the kind of the real heart of football is, I think. Mm. You know, the heartbeat of football in this country is at these levels, as we well know, and we're going to keep seeing that as other clubs come into it in the sort of the coming weeks and months. But it is a very special kind of competition to be involved in, and it does hook people in. And if that's a way of getting people into the grounds and through turnstiles to watch a game and kind of get hooked on non-league, then that's great.
Yeah, I mean, even I'm torn myself this weekend. Do I go and watch my own side away, or do I watch a local FA Cup game because of the extra passion, the extra magic that goes with it? But who knows? Who knows where I'll be? But all the major leagues are now also underway, and it is very, very, very early days, as Dave Anderson would remind me. But I think there's a clear suggestion that particularly the National League is going to be another one of those where it's so many close encounters. Come the end of the season, it could just be that wafer thin bit of paper that separates the sides at the top. Only three games in, of course, but perhaps it's not the fancy clubs that are in those top spots. But it's interesting to note that every club across the table has at least 1 point in the bag from those three games.
Yes. It's kind of the National League, as we know and love it, really, because there is nothing guaranteed. I mean, you know, as you say, very early days, and you can't really see too much into it. But there's already been kind of some big, you know, think about Chesterfield beating Wrexham the other night. It already feels like kind of, oh, that's kind of a bit of a marker that they played down there, Chesterfield, and they go to Notts County on Saturday. So I think, well, what will they do there? And if, you know, how will Notts County sort of cope with Chesterfield coming there and on the back, you know, the wind in their sails. Notts obviously got a late equaliser against Gateshead on Tuesday night, but, you know, we've seen it with Oldham. There's kind of all that, all the sort of the euphoria on Saturday as they won, and then a few days later they've lost at home to Wheelstone, and what great result that is for Wheelstone. I think it's one of the girls on Twitter, and you can sort of see, you know, what good
every what man good in the team touched the ball, didn't he, in the build up,
like peak Argentina in the World Cup that year. But
and we also all knew that video of Frank Rothwell, the new chairman at Oldham, was going to come back and bite him at some point during the season. wasn't as respectful of some of the other clubs in the division as it should have been. But I certainly think I've seen enough social media posts from Wheelstone fans in the last couple of days to suggest that moment has already arrived.
I think, yeah, and this is it. I mean, it's kind of part of a rites of passage to if you come drop out of the Football League to kind of, you know, so I think clubs do is underestimate kind of what's going to happen and don't really realise what they're coming up against. And, you know, that's, you know, a club like Wilson, all that history that they've got there, you know, why shouldn't they be going to Oldham on a Tuesday night and winning, really? You know, Scunthorpe obviously feeling that same thing as well. They lost at Woking, and that kind of is the National League. Isn't it? As I said before, nobody really cares where you've been, where you've come from. It's they're there to beat you, and that's kind of why we see so many good games and so many results. And it's one of the most interesting divisions in the country. You know, Wrexham, all these big high hopes, and after three games, they've won one, drawn one, so. And lost one, so it's sort of there's lots clearly, obviously, lots and lots of football to be played, but already very interesting opening few games.
It's great to see, isn't it, that those names that are in the National League and that they're, you know, there's some up the top, there's some at the bottom, they're all smattered around, but it's still, yeah, we are saying only three games in, but it's still so tight. And I just foresee that we're going to have another one of those where we're going to be going into the last three games of the season, and probably everybody bar the bottom six or seven will have a shout for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's why we've said before about how the playoffs extended out and how that's kind of possibly released teams a little bit and given them that chance to get in there, and it keeps seasons going on much longer, and we see it every year that if you come into the last few games, there's always, you know, things can happen that can get, you know, a handful of clubs in there. So it does give people reason to dream, and that's kind of the exciting part of the league. I mean, you look at Dorking come up, they've already scored 8 goals, they're the league's top scorer so far after three games, and, you know, you always think about teams when they come up, are they going to be able to find the back of the net? Well, Dorking already shown they're doing that, so it is going to be a really fascinating campaign. And yeah, just kind of, it's in the first few games have just sort of whet the appetite for it, really.
Yeah, it's exciting all round, because obviously we've now got, yeah, as I say, all the major leagues are underway. Step two as well, Kings Lynn in the National North setting the pace with 3 wins from 3, and also newly promoted Banbury United remaining unbeaten. And I'm sure, I mean, they had massive beaming smiles throughout the last season because of the way that they played. And yeah, it was always going to be difficult because they were in the Southern League, got promoted into the North section of the National League, which might have caused some problems with players and availability and that sort of thing. But, you know, a good start. So I'm sure those smiles will be as wide as they were last season at Banbury.
Yeah, definitely bringing on that momentum, aren't they? I think nobody really picked out Banbury at the start of last season to go and do what they did. Andy Ring, they've done a brilliant job, and talked to him quite a few times, and it kind of feels like they've done it the right way and have a modest budget and got players in who are really hungry and young and want to progress their careers and kind of go out and show what they're all about, and that's what they've been doing. And this is another step up, but so far they'll be pleased with the way they've started. They obviously won the first two and drew on Tuesday against Boston. So yeah, it's encouraging for them. It's always, as we would say, it is just a start, but it always kind of feels good when your team gets off to a start. And Kings Lynn Town fans obviously feeling that same, come down with that sort of probably trepidation of from relegation, and it's been a bit tough going. And I think since Tommy Richardson's gone in there, he's got a lot of points on the board. And actually, when they were kind of the position he took them on, and I think it was sort of November time, there was no real chance of them staying up. And there was at one point you think, actually they have got a bit of a chance here. So he's kind of taking that on, doing a great job there, and kind of kept a lot of the players from last year and signed Josh Coulson, people that experience on permanently and things, and that goes a long way. But it would just be nice, and be real satisfaction after three games to be sitting there with maximum points. Which, as we look across the division, only I think step two, only Ebbsfleet have done that as well. So it shows how hard it is to kind of go out and win your first three games.
Yeah, and it shows. You know, that non-league across, and we'll see this with the FA Cup this weekend as well. There'll be cup sets left, right and centre, I'm sure. But on their day, pretty much every non-league team could beat a league team, let alone another league team, let alone another club in their division. And it is all about, like you say, with Tommy Ridgeon coming in, it's that belief amongst the squad and that willingness to run through walls for each other. That's the big difference, not necessarily the talent of the players.
Yeah, and I think that's why, as we always say, and that's why we like non-league football, because if it was a given, then there wouldn't be much point in watching it, really. But there are. I mean, I always think you look at the Premier League and what's going to happen this season. What do you think is going to happen? And we all know who's going to be in the top two. It's just what order they're in. Maybe another team. It kind of is the same every year, really. And there are big and interesting games, but I mean, from an entertainment point of view, generally the same thing kind of happens each year. That's why I like non-league football as well, because we do pre-season previews and things, and who's going to do well, and they're good fun because everybody has a different opinion. But that's because you can't easily say who will go. Everyone obviously in National League, Wrexham are the one, but it's always a team that's going to be the one that will be most fancied by the majority of people. But the start has shown, again, long way to go. Three games in, it's not, not having everything their own way so far, are they? So, there's plenty of time for that to turn around, clearly. But many people have Barnet sitting at the top right now, maybe not, but again, that's showing what Dean has actually assembled a really good squad down there this year. And I think they can probably keep turning a few heads as they go through.
Yeah, and as you say, we all love it, apart from when that's your club. So another club, you mentioned Ebbsfleet there, three wins from three in the National South, but three defeats from three, Weymouth at the bottom of the National South. And, after the success they've had in recent seasons, the buoyancy, and then as a fan, that's hard to take. I mean, it is early days, but it's going to be a tough trough to climb back from.
Yeah, I think that sort of shows the flip side of Kings Lynn. They've obviously come down and won three games, and Weymouth have had the opposite. And I think at this stage it is a win on Saturday, and suddenly everything feels a lot better. And I feel like there's possibly these days there's kind of all a bit more short termism. I went to see my team play on Tuesday night in League One, and they lose, and everyone's kind of panicking, and you're kind of thinking, oh, this is really, here we go again. But it's actually, when you step back, sometimes the picture's not as bad as it seems, and one win can just make everything feel better. It's as you go on four, five, six games when things aren't going your way, that I think you may start sort of you get up to 10 games. What managers always love to say, 10 games in and get a good picture of the league. I don't know if that's true or what the science is behind it, but
It sounds about right.
Unless the manager on their 10th rate defeat about that, then they keep quiet about that. And we should also mention, you know, it's only football. It's only football. We should mention Chippenham Town and wish Pablo Martinez a speedy recovery. His collapse and apparent need for CPR in their game on Saturday led to their midweek game also being postponed. They've only played one game so far this season, but I think it was... the players and management just decided that even by Tuesday their head wasn't going to be in it to play football, and hopefully they'll be back up and running for this weekend. And also, you know, as I say, wish Pablo a speedy recovery.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, is that, you know, the outcome sounds a lot more positive than it could have been. I mean, that is all credit to the medical staff, and that shows how lucky. You know, how lucky we probably are in non-league, you know, the sort of the training that the medical staff around and the sports therapists and physio and all the people around at clubs and the sort of equipment they've got with defibrillators and all this kind of thing, that just shows how lucky we are to have sort of so many brilliant people who keep very calm in some of the worst, you know, one of the worst situations, you know, it can be. When Pablo needed those people, they were there to get him through it, and that's kind of pretty incredible, really. And it's amazing to see that from kind of what's been coming out so far, how he has progressed on and in a positive fashion from that. But it kind of shows when everything worked, you know, there's processes on when these things happen and when everything kind of works together and how it all can work for a good outcome, it just it kind of just makes you think, yeah, it is only football, and that's actually quite a lot more important from a player's point of view. I'm sure it would have been for the Chelmsford players as well, and fans in the ground. I mean, that is, you know, terrifying, pretty terrifying thing to witness or to be going for, especially for a teammate and things like that. You know, I think we saw it with Christian Eriksen as well, and when he had the incident in the Euros, and how much that affected the players around him, and having to see that, and you know, I think I saw things on Twitter on the time. You see family saying, "Oh, you know, trying to find out what's going on." It's actually a pretty scary, scary thing to say the least. But again, just shows the importance of having defibrillators around. At football clubs, you know, they need to be there. People to know how to use them, or, you know, to be confident to use them, because that's the worst thing you can do is nothing. It shows the good CPR and defibrillators around and what it can do. And I have personal experience of this. My dad had a cardiac arrest a few years ago, and, you know, the process of good CPR and defibrillators around, and it, you know, that can change the outcome for people. Yeah. So I think it's a good thing to be aware. I know where I walk in my town, I walk around, I've seen more and more defibrillators popping up. And, you know, when you're going out, see looking for phone boxes, see where they are, because you never know when something might happen, and you can kind of go and get one or help somebody when they're in their most desperate time. And kind of what a positive, you know, impact you can have by just having that little bit of knowledge about it.
Yeah, and again, I'll plug the free online FA courses that anybody you register to go on the boot room of the learning zone there at the FA, and you can do the free cardiac arrest online video and course, get a certificate at the end of it. But every little step like that helps, and it is great to know that you know. So many of our football clubs now, because of the latest push to get defibs across non-league clubs, they are literally the community hub for these sort of things going forward, and you know, play a vital role. But we do need again to make sure that the people that are there have got the requisite training, and you say requisite confidence, but also requisite support around them. So you know, sometimes when fans get a little bit frustrated about all the red tape and all the processes and things like that, it's there for a reason. It's, you know, none of us are doing it just to upset fans, because at the end of the day, that we are the fans as well. That's the big thing to remember. But yeah, hopefully we've got a positive outcome. It's, you know, educating people a little bit more, keeping more people informed, and hopefully it will be a good thing going forward. Step three as well. We've also got seasons underway. I don't think there's any 100% win records in the Southern Premier South, which suggests another close race this season. Southern, South Central, Colville Town at 3 wins from 3. And in the Northern Premier League, I think Stafford Rangers and Warrington Town, they've got 2 wins from 2. And similar records in the Isthmian Premier for Horsham, Aveley and Stortford. I mean, only 2 games in some of those divisions. So that is very early days. But again, looking at those divisions, that they're not necessarily always the fancy clubs that are up the top. I think they are in the Isthmian. They would probably been my three maybe to be looking for promotion there. But there's results coming out of the blue, whether that's player availability, holidays, work, whatever, or squad still not assimilated. It's a very exciting season ahead.
Yeah, I think we're at that perfect point of it now, and we're just starting, and all the hopes and aspirations for everybody. You know, I don't think I've spoken to a manager through this summer who doesn't think they can have a good season, and you know, doesn't think they've got one of the best squads they've ever had. That's all part of the optimism. I don't think I've spoken to as many managers who've been on holiday. I think there's all these holidays this year because of all the COVID.
Yeah.
COVID. I think there's been lots of late holidays this year where people are finally putting in those holidays from 2020 that they finally got to have. But yeah, it is. I also love this part of the season, because it is just kind of seeing how everybody shakes out and everyone's kind of, you know, trying to get off to that positive start that can really lay the foundations for a brilliant season. Because as we all know, it'll soon rattle by, and we'll be sort of deep in December and fretting about the weather again, probably.
Yeah, it's interesting. The point you make about the manager. I was chatting to someone the other day that has opened up a La Manga in Spain, that they've opened one up in Cyprus. And I was saying, we just need pre-season tours here. You know, we could bring all the managers together, all the rest of the family can go and have a nice holiday, and all the players can play their games, and everybody will be happy. So, non-league paper towers should move.
I think it does sound like one for the non-league paper.
I definitely think it's a four-week tour.
Yeah, you probably do need to be out there, I think. Yeah, that'd be quite nice every summer, wouldn't it? We'd just go out there to be like Love Island.
Yeah.
But that's not me. I've never watched Love Island.
It'd be like Love Island.
Other than I know...
From what I know, Love Island is non-league footballers anyway, isn't it?
Well, that's what I think. There's people in our office who are older than me who watch it and will be able to tell you more about it. Ask John Couch about it when he's on next week. He'll tell you about Love Island.
I may have to put a post-it note up on the wall ready for that one. I guess, once again, there's probably lots more to report on this weekend in the paper. Anything particular we can look forward to in this weekend's edition?
Well, we are action-packed with live stuff, really. Say the FA Cup and all the non-league goings on. I've also spoken to Kevin Ellison, who signed for Warrington Rylands at the ripe old age of 43. He's kind of left Newport County in the summer, turned down the coaching role to kind of keep playing. He still says he feels as good as ever, and I think maybe sort of point out people who don't realise, or some people forget, that he started out in non-league before he went on his 21-year career in the Football League, playing for the likes of Chester City and Tranmere and Stockport and Morecambe, Rotherham, and then obviously Newport. He started out at Chorley and Southport and Altrincham, and so he's looking forward to kind of getting going and trying to have still trying to win things and be part of a winning team. Ryland's obviously been on the up in the last couple of years, and they certainly, if you want experience, then going for a 43-year-old who's played nearly 800 games in the Football League, then you're not going to go too far wrong. So plenty of that. Obviously catching up with Blythe Spartans, appointed Graham Fenton. Good to see him back in the dugout. I've seen her South Shield was a little while ago. Hasn't been back since. Seen him in the dugout since. But he's back in at Blythe. Obviously, an early managerial change there at the start of the season. So got that. Looking ahead to the Vars, which kicks off. You know, it's all happens at this stage of the season. There's no real time for a breather because everything's kicking off all over the place. So it's, recovery. We sort of need a recovery already.
Yeah.
We're straight into the thick of it.
Yeah, so maybe that pre-season tour is probably a bit too full on, actually. We just need... We need non-league to slow down a little bit, but then, yeah, it wouldn't be as exciting.
It'd be boring, yeah.
Yeah, it would be boring. What would we do without... what would we do on a Sunday morning without being able to read the non-league
paper? I do wonder what people will do.
Those were the days. Matt Badcock, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, Tim. Speak to you soon.
And I was hoping to get one more manager on the line for you, but time has got the better of us, and that's it for this week. But we will have a number of other guests coming up next week. Some exciting things lined up. Let you know what they are at the moment, but there's some big interviews that we have been able to organise ahead of the summer, which hopefully means that we can bring to you in the coming weeks. It's hopefully there'll be a few changes as we go along, but hopefully the non-league show is back as you all enjoy it, and Friday mornings are back to their usual routine. Thanks as ever to my guests, and good luck to Brixham and all involved in the FA Cup this weekend. You are our non-league ambassadors to the world, and we hope you sprinkle a little bit more of that magic far and wide. Good luck too to all involved in games this weekend. It is great to be back, even with the bits we like to grumble about my own club, a floodlight failure 2 minutes before kickoff was exciting midweek, but we found a solution, made a fix, and got the game played. And that's what non-league does in the face of adversity. And believe me, more clubs than will admit face adversity week in, week out. Non-league finds solutions and puts on a show that we all love and we couldn't be without. Finally, a big thank you to all of you for listening too. Remember to share far and wide, tell your friends, and also your support is always appreciated along with your feedback too. So it's always noticed, so please do get in touch with any thoughts and opinions. You can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom and on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Good to be back. Stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
JIBBA JABBA Production. JIBBA JABBA